There's a very simple way to win, and it's not little gimmicks and games. It's Do Better Radio.
Anybody.
I can't even comment on the Cadbury Eggs. I still have yet to try one.
And Dawn.
I mean, we're still crazy. Bitches will always be crazy, but it's like a normal crazy.
The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.
We'll start with this email, rad@radradio.com, from Maggot Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Although she's barely a maggot. First of all, she's an admitted garbage can listener. Fine.
Bad Tammy.
Not everybody can be a member of the membership site and enjoy Rad TV and the 24/7 access to Rad Radio. I mean, that's one thing. It's another thing to be so far behind on your shows, because a lot of you listen as you can, that you write us on today's March 26th.
Yeah, what is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
With this email. It says, I'm a lowly garbage can who can't even stay current on your shows. I am listening to the February 1st showgram.
Whoa.
Okay, a little backwards.
That's going way back.
I mean, come on, honey.
It feels like eons ago, but it really wasn't that long ago.
It's okay. You have more important things.
Yeah, no. No.
That was a little bit of a low blow.
Yeah.
And it's only 1 minute into the show.
No. That didn't take long. I don't mean it in any way. Uh-huh. You know?
Entertainment, facts, news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, but it's just, you know, on the scope of life, it just might not be in her wheelhouse right now.
Then her wheelhouse needs to be greased, oiled, WD-40.
Lubed.
Fully checked out. I'm listening to the February 1st showgram, and I am dying to know if Brandon ever saw Argylle and what his thoughts on it were. My husband and I watched it when it first hit theaters, and we thought it was great.
I have not seen it. I don't really plan on seeing it anytime soon.
What is it? Can we remind everyone?
It's a Henry Cavill movie. Oh, it's got a few well-known actors that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. I could Google it, but
Henry.
Thank you. But it's about a spy novel author who writes about a spy named Argylle. And then there's like this parallel story where this person or this spy actually exists in real life. So there's like some sort of crossover, and there's a cat in a backpack, the most random thing, but it's one of the most predominantly featured animal or things on the trailer. I heard it got panned. Bryan Cranston's in it.
Oh, wow.
Dua Lipa is like one of the main. Rockwell's in it.
John Cena.
Yeah.
Is that why she thought you had an interest in seeing it?
We discussed it earlier on this year, and it looked compelling just because of all the actors that are in it, especially Sam Rockwell and Bryan Cranston, but it's just gotten completely panned. It's apparently very bad.
It is amazing the way they can put together these movies with these extraordinary stars and produce such crap out of the movie.
See, and it could be like the script was really good, their performances were really good, but it ultimately is at the hands of the director and the editor for what we see. So they could completely have botched it, butchered it in the editing room. So what we saw was not a completely different movie than what they made.
Yeah, and they had a budget of $200 million. So they had money to spend.
Oh, I'm going to bet that came in under budget, as
I'm thinking. I don't know. It doesn't have the numbers up yet about how much they made.
The website doesn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Their budget was.
I mean, hey, here's where I'm impressed, because as far behind as she is on our shows, at least she referenced a movie from this year. I did ask Brandon about something years ago.
We got this note from Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Every morning at 10 a.m. we do the Mixed Picks sports show on Rad TV and at members.radradio.com, the Rad Radio app, and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. Steve Mickelson and I discuss sports and such. Of course, it's March Madness week as we head towards the Sweet 16 this weekend. We'll go over that today. For those of you not paying attention, the Shohei Ohtani story out of Major League Baseball is starting to get uglier and uglier. It involves gambling debts, money being transferred, money being stolen. We don't really know. But while we were talking about that story,
this is a Lifetime movie,
which Steve is really interested in, and thinks that ultimately he thinks they're going to brush it under the rug, because Shohei Ohtani is the face of Major League Baseball. He's the $700 million man. And it's easy to find a scapegoat. He doesn't speak American, so he has an interpreter. Make the interpreter kind of the scapegoat. They've already fired him. Have Shohei Ohtani take care of him for the rest of his life for his silence, and the story never comes up again. That's Steve's prediction. there is always the possibility when you start to get into stories of millions and millions of dollars being transferred from one account to another, with the account holder, Shohei Ohtani, a Major League Baseball player, claiming he had no idea it was happening, which, yes, rich people have other people handle their things happening, that another person is involved who will hear the story or see the story and come forward. And that's when what I call the other shoe drops. When someone else comes forward and says, wait a minute, what you're being told is not accurate and I can prove it. And that's where it becomes more of a scandal, if you will, and where it starts to lead to
bringing
things
on the scandal,
like suspensions.
Bringing on the scandal.
Yeah, I mean, let's absolutely ruin as many lives as possible.
Taking Don's idea of it being a movie, too bad the title Moneyball's already taken, otherwise this would fit perfectly.
This would be the ultimate in Moneyball.
Oh, damn.
Plus, since the original movie Moneyball sucked.
I love that movie!
And is completely unrealistic.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
This has nothing to do with facts at all that happened to do with Major League Baseball. That would also make me happier as well.
So Moneyball was taken, but they could do Shohei's Payday.
Oh,
massage
I like it.
It's a good foundation.
Work on it.
And it's not too long.
Exactly.
You know?
Spelling Shohei, though, is difficult.
How about I'll take it. You know, this is what happens in conference rooms. Somebody says something dumb, and then other people start to add on to it. How about Shohei me the money?
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting closer.
Jerry Maguire.
We're getting closer.
Doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
And we'll have Cuba Gooding Jr. play Shohei Ohtani.
Oh my God.
All right. So through all that, and we will talk a lot more about it because a lot of that story came out yesterday.
Later in the sports show.
Yes, during the sports show. Right. That's what it's for.
Just want to make sure it wasn't like
keep Dawn out of her coma on this
promo
show.
A promo for later on today on this show.
Chris says, Rob, you mentioned in passing during the sports show yesterday that over the years you've been hired to consult people and companies on things like marketing, PR, and crisis management. I've never really heard you talk much about that. And was wondering what you could share. Yeah, obviously it's not something I bring up very often because if I'm doing things for certain companies under those headings, those companies don't need me talking unless I'm their spokesperson. Like for example, I don't know what my official title is when it comes to Circles with an S, the social media positivity app. I'm on the board of directors, but the main thing I do there is PR and marketing. I help them figure out exactly how, where, what do we say, do, when, where, why, things like that. So in that case, sure, you'll hear about it. But this came up because Shohei Ohtani, the baseball player, hired a crisis management team last week. And I pointed out that's never good. When you go from I have an interpreter, I have a manager, I have an agent, I might even have a PR team. A PR stands for public relations. When you go from that to crisis management, you are now at the point where you have recognized or someone on your team has recognized, by definition, we are in crisis. So over the years, yeah, I've helped people. The PR thing I think is obvious. Public relations. How do you present yourself? How do you market yourself? How do you roll out your company? What's the best way to target who you're trying to who you're trying to reach? But there's a giant difference between public relations and crisis management. Just to make up an example, public relations might be somebody will call me and say, "Rob, we might have a problem. We've got this video that's out there. Somebody took it on their cell phone. We've got this middle-aged white manager." And he was really mad at a new employee who happens to be a young black woman, and he was pretty visibly yelling at her, potentially verbally abusing her. How do we get ahead of this kind of thing? That's more PR stuff, because there are plenty of ways to exactly that. Get ahead of it, explain it. A lot of behind the scenes stuff goes on. You bring the two parties involved in. You figure out, first of all, has this been resolved? Is the woman really aggrieved? Is someone else upset? Is this just a viral thing, et cetera? Crisis management is same situation. Middle-aged white manager, young black female employee, and he uses slurs.
Ooh, Jesus.
Now we've got crisis management. And now you have to really dive into, Is it savable? Do we want it to be savable? How can it be savable? What slurs were used? In what context were they used? What did she do prior to the slurs being used? Not that it's ever okay. I mean, there's so many things that you start to look at. So that's a very broad perspective of the kind of things that you get into when you start doing marketing, PR, crisis management, which is where I've alluded to before. I never thought that all of my 2 whole years of majoring in psychology and community college 35 years ago would ever pay off. But I did, and I've stayed so fascinated by human behavior. And then being married for 8 years to a woman who's trained in a different form of human behavior as an interrogator, I've learned so much about how to let's just use the word, manipulate minds. That's what you're doing in crisis management and public relations. You are taking people's brains and you're trying to say, look at it this way, not that way. And a lot of times you're doing it with the truth. And it doesn't always work, by the way. But that's kind of the short version of what you're asking.
Well, and I also feel like with PR, it could be a little more light. Like you're just trying to massage their image, right? You're just telling them, show at this place. You're trying to like...
That's marketing.
You know, more marketing?
That's marketing. If you're just trying to show off their image, that's marketing.
Because it seems every person in Hollywood, they'll talk about their PR person. It's like they literally have a PR person all the time. Whereas like crisis management, it definitely seems like that's on standby all the time in that town. Yeah,
no, those things... No, again, PR and crisis management are night and day. You want to call somebody your PR person, fine. Public relations is, this is the way we want you to perceive us. That's all it is. And that's marketing, too.
Yeah.
Those are the same things.
Yeah.
Marketing and PR are, they cross over
and,
for
and
me.
Like in a lighter, more fun.
But
yeah, that'd be the better phone call. We need you to look... I don't know. We need you to look, if it's Hollywood, young and hip and cool to this crowd.
That's exactly it. That's although, again, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
No.
That's marketing.
Yeah. But they call it PR.
Well, they're stupid. That's all I can tell you.
And because there were reality shows on this where you got to know the PR people in Hollywood. And I forget one of her names, Liz somebody. She was like the PR person everyone wanted to hire.
And I would have to know more about specifically what she was doing to tell you whether or not she's truly a PR person or she's stupid.
Honestly, from everything that you've said, from what I've said and you've said, she covered the gamut. And then she'd call in extra people if it was super crisis.
The other problem, too, is that people don't like the word marketing because the people equate it to you're selling me something.
Yeah. Yep,
that's where I was
exactly.
thinking.
Exactly.
Which is what PR is.
Yep.
We're selling you something. We're selling you an image. We want you to relate to us in this way. It's the same thing with a slightly different variance. And so that's where the differences are. And that's the only reason it came up on the sports show yesterday. You get crisis management involved, you are at DEFCON 1. And you need some serious help to get out of whatever situation you're in.
So basically break it down. Marketing is selling a product. PR is selling an idea.
Or person.
Or person. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And crisis management is selling either of those things. Or I'm sorry, is saving. See, either of those things.
Got it.
Jill wrote in. This came in yesterday. We were talking about how bad radio is in general, the radio industry, the horrible things that radio stations did, still do. Somehow we got onto the street team. Brandon was part of the street team in the very, very, very beginning of his radio career.
So was Kyle.
Yeah. You guys get to go out in the station van or whatever and hand out bumper stickers or T-shirts or... Back in the day, CDs, things like that.
I did that.
Coupons.
I think I was 20. And it was like for an oldies radio station here in Sacramento. And we hated even more for that because we're like 20. And I, you know, showed up at the oldies event. You're like, shoot me.
See, the ones where you just show up at a random gas station for like an hour or two to give away concert tickets, that was actually pretty cool, especially if the concert ticket was like an Aftershock or something, a high bill.
Well, that's high end street team stuff.
Exactly. And you get a ton of people out there, and it was like an event unto itself. That was really cool. But the worst ones were those that were attached to a sales deal, like a car dealership or a specific fast food place, to where all you're doing at that fast food place is, like Kyle said, you're just handing out coupons for whatever their special deal is, and nobody shows up. Most of the people that came out were like, who are you? What's happening here?
And the fast food one is so much better than the car dealership, because at least the fast food one, they could use the coupon to consume some food.
Yes.
The worst, those places where you're going And it's not like I'm going to impulse buy a car.
Exactly.
And yes, usually the street team is made up of people that aren't on the radio, or if they are, they're on, you know, on the weekends
overnights, yeah.
Overnights, that kind of thing. And you get that, and you're young, you're in radio, you get that egotistical blow of who the hell are you? And, or a lot of times you'll get the, where is?
Yeah.
What I thought Rob, anybody, and Dawn were going to be here. It's like, why would you think that?
Are they the van?
I really liked that. I remember being an intern, and the second they gave me that little radio badge, I felt like I was a badass in a sense. I'm like, I'm a part of the team, goddammit. But then I remember Brandon saying not like the car dealership or the fast food ones, the kind of boring ones. I liked those because it was easy going. I didn't like going to the concerts. Mm. I remember one time they put me floating around at a different station. They put me on a boomer station to go to a concert, and the elderly just want to talk your ear off, and they want to play your games, and they want to hang out by the tent, and you're trying to like engage with other listeners, man. And you're like, you need to go.
Dude, you guys got that cornhole thing set up? I'd like to throw the bag.
I used to play cornhole.
And the worst thing is, are the prize pigs that would follow you around. Like there would be a family in a van, same family. They would show up to every single event. Did not matter if we were giving away high-end concert tickets or low-end food coupons. They would show up every time, and they would just be there to be a prize pick. Then they'd call and win tickets and stuff on the show. So you'd see them in the lobby at the radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they're just vultures.
And a similar version of that are the ones who show up to every event like that and don't leave.
Oh, yes.
You're there for an hour. Or maybe two, but usually an hour, wherever your gas station, they get their CD or their shirt, and then they just linger.
Yes.
And any downtime, any chance they have, they start making small talk with you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you have to go out of your way to acknowledge new listeners, but then they still linger.
See, this has got to be relatable to people who are on like a street team or on a marketing team going out on the street. Like if it's a cell phone provider or a windshield repair place, like they have to experience similar things, right?
I always liked it when they tried to invite you out to dinner or lunch or something. Like, hey, man, when you're done, I'm going to be going to this spot. If you want to come over and just hang out, I'll go buy you a drink. Da, 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 da. You're like, and then you're going to ask me to come hang out at your house. Yeah, and then we're going to go to your basement. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to meet Mr. whoever with a knife who's going to skin me.
So my two favorite, and I say that sarcastically, the car dealership, how, like, yes, you're given CDs. And they're like, well, why hasn't someone come and bought a car? But I have CDs, right? Like, it's
right. And again, this is like when CDs are popular.
Yeah, but still, but you're like, you're mad that the CD didn't inspire them to buy the car. And then when you're talking about the linger.
And by the way, usually they're crappy CDs. It's not like it's the newest release of U2.
Exactly. And that would also be so like, oh, God. Because you get, like, maybe the general manager that's running the whole car dealership, and he comes out and he looks at the CDs and looks at you like, really? You know, like, this is what we get. But the linger, that person that turns into not just that, but they stand there, and any chance they get to tell you how to do your job.
Oh.
And they're not even in the industry, and they're giving you pointers.
That's
and
helpful.
You're like, oh, my God, really?
Yep. I'm glad you guys had CDs back in your day, because when I came to the street team, it was New Age MP3, so they give you these sheets of paper from a sketchy website you'd have to go to download an MP3.
Mm-mm. Oh, God.
So all of that kindled a memory of Jill's that we've discussed over the years. She says, the story of all of you in the radio van reminded me of the van salsa guy that was obsessed with Dawn.
Oh, God.
Like, who was this guy, and why salsa, and why in a van? And
I don't know.
Wasn't there something that happened and he got pissed at you?
I think
we would all love to take a trip down memory lane on this morning. Thank you all.
When my husband and I got married, yes, he showed up in the van and gave me...
Not your husband.
No, I'm sorry. The van man.
To set the stage, this is way back in the day. This is at our old flagship station in Sacramento, California. Not in the best neighborhood. Now, at the time, it was much better than it is now. No security at all whatsoever. Something that even at that time, this is early aughts, I had never seen in a major or big market. You get into the top 30 cities in the country, radio stations have much better security. There was none.
None.
And so literally van guy could pull into the parking lot at 4 a.m. when Dawn did, and things could ensue.
Yep. And so at this point, I already was used to Van Man, so I wasn't disturbed.
Meaning he would show up occasionally.
Yeah, so I don't know why or how. I think we're talking about salsa and my love of salsa.
On the show.
Okay. And this is back when I would always bring cream cheese, tortilla chips, and salsa, right?
Mm, yum.
Right? Yes, still love that to this day. And so then one day I come to work and he see a van. And this creepy guy get out of it. I'm like, oh, super.
The van's already in the parking lot.
I pulled up. There's no one around. Everyone's inside that's even there at this point. And I'm like, okay, this is how I die, I guess. You know? And when will they find me? Right, when will they go looking? Just right as the show starts, where the hell is she?
Like, this is early to mid-30s, Dawn. She doesn't have a taser. I don't even know if they have pepper spray at the time.
Nope.
Yeah, Dawn, you would have been found when somebody had some salsa and there were pieces of you in it.
Yeah. So, or at 5:55 that morning when all of the other DJs who did morning shows showed up for their 6 a.m. shift while the rest of us were actually preparing a real show.
So what qualities made this guy creepy? Like, besides the fact that he's in a van showing up, like, did he have a look about him, or was it the clothing attire he wore, or was it just
and first of all, it was like that van.
Yeah, it was the van that was creepy. Yeah. That's why I called him Creepy Van Man. He just looked like an older dad.
Didn't you get the impression he lived in this van, or part time at least? To fast forward the story, didn't he make the salsa in the van or something?
Oh my lord! But he did, and I don't remember now. I'm so sorry if you're still listening, Van Man. I don't remember. He did have a job and he did live somewhere.
Okay.
But he was in this van a lot. And so the van was creepy. He just looked, you know, like an older dad or whatever. But
a little disheveled from what I remember in my one interaction with him. The one time I had to come out to the parking lot to rescue Dawn.
And he comes out of the van. This is the first time. And I'm like, This is it. And I'm thinking, why don't I have a gun on me? Why don't I have... This is when you start thinking, why didn't I bring my gun from home?
Cell phones are not as prevalent. No texting.
None of that.
The ability to just somehow, like, to 911 me or anything is not really prevalent at the time.
And he comes out and he's all excited. Because he has salsa for me.
Does he have a bowl?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
A bowl? It's not even in a Tupperware?
Of salsa.
Is it covered in plastic
wrap? It's covered in saran wrap.
Oh.
It's super official. It's a plastic bowl. Not Tupperware, but you know the plastic ones we can have. Yeah, yeah.
Did he have chips?
No, there were no chips. This was the weird thing. Just gave me the salsa.
You had to get in the van for
And
the
I
chips.
Was like...
Mm. I heard you like salsa. Himself.
Here's a scab. You like that? It's like a chip.
I just couldn't get away fast enough the first time.
Did you take
the
salsa?
I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, I gotta get you.
Yeah, I gotta work.
Yeah.
Put it on the free table.
There were numerous times he'd show up. There was one time where he was making the salsa so the van's open, and I'm like, gosh dang it, there's the van, son of a bitch.
Like the original food truck.
Cantina.
He's harmless at this point, I'm thinking, right?
How they get you.
Right? Exactly. Let my guard down. That's when they stab you and skin you. And I see him, they're making it, and I'm like, Jesus God, more salsa. I never ate it because I didn't.
Of course not.
Like, oh my God, it's gonna be. How did you like the salsa? And then I have to lie because it's like, oh yeah, yum. Mm.
So I'm imagining the van wasn't quite up to spec as far as food safety goes.
I don't think it was road safe.
But was he making it in like a blender, or was he actually like chopping things up on a cutting board and
chopping
mixing it
things up?
Do you remember the other thing she alluded to? What you or we did to piss him off?
Yes, I do, absolutely. So then I got. You know, when Gary and I got married, and by this time I'm used to Salsa Boy and the crazy van man, and I pull up just after we got married, and he hands me, it was very nice of him to think, you know, to get us a gift for our wedding, and it was like a big, like, punch bowl type thing, right?
To put your salsa in.
Oh, nice.
Found it at a garage sale.
At that time in my life, I would talk about a lot of like baby showers that I would always be throwing for friends, and I loved to do that and entertain. So he's thinking, you know, the spiked punch that we would put, right, for some of those showers, I could use that. And I thought that was so lovely and so sweet, and I had an address, you know, to know where to send him a thank you, because I want to send everyone a thank you.
123 Van, Sacramento.
It was, pretty sure it was P.O. like a box. P.O. box. Yep, yeah, there you go. And was it 6 months later? I'm trying to remember. I think it was about 6 months later. He was mad. He had not received his thank you card.
Oh.
And I felt bad. Like, I forgot, because, you know, like, yeah, I tried to keep up on it, and then I forgot. And I did feel, in my mind, I felt bad, but I was so mad at him. Like, I don't know. I must have been in a mood that day, too, because here you are again.
So he showed up to tell you.
You literally just showed up in the morning as I'm trying to walk into work to yell at me for not a thank you card. And I'm like, and I just look, I'm like, you know what? I have a year. That's the etiquette. Like, give me a break.
Nice.
I'm just like, Jesus. And then I was like, oh, should I not be heated with him? Because now he might stab me. But and yeah, he was so upset.
As far as you know, that was the last you saw of him.
That was the last I ever saw of him.
Wow.
Let's send out a beacon. Oh, Van Man.
No.
We need salsa.
Well, hey, you know what? Things are so different now. I mean, everything's different. We're in a different location. We're in our own studio. I see a homeless guy near a dumpster across the way. I'm calling PD right away. They're here in 14 seconds because they know we're here.
So aware of my surroundings. It is very different.
Yeah.
When we did the show in Seattle for a bit, like, I had to park in a parking garage. Rob would get there early, and you have to, like, park in there, and you're walking down it, and you're walking down the street. And I'm like, this is a big city. I'm going to get raped.
I do want to point out, this was Seattle circa 2000.
It was very safe and nice.
Far different any major city of 2024.
I would never do that now, and I hope there is not a morning show girl there that has to do that, because she doesn't make it to the show. She's been murdered.
I hope there's not
I'm sorry.
I hope there's not a morning show dude. Yes. I wouldn't make that walk in most major cities these days. My God.
Oh, man.
All right, a couple other comments, emails, follow-ups to yesterday. So we had Evan write in a few times yesterday. Evan's the one who had seen the new version of Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal, remake of the Patrick Swayze movie. He liked it. He made a comment in his earlier email, his first email, that he would watch it again as if his wife was into it. So, of course, we clowned him for being pussy whipped. He wrote back and he said, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was that I would be happy to watch it again if she wanted to see it. But we had a choice, and she chose The Beekeeper with Jason Statham instead. And he did make a comment. He said, I wish she would have chosen Roadhouse. And I was like, oh, no. I really wanted to. I love Jason Statham. He is the celebrity I most resemble. And I love all his movies. And what is it, Brandon? He takes care of scam artists?
Something like that, yeah. So I thought it was just like some sort of super security detail type of guy, but it sounds like he's avenging something that happened to him or a loved one that was scammed.
My wife had texted me. She wanted to see The Beekeeper as well, which I did, because I pointed this out yesterday. I said, you do realize that most Statham movies are very violent, and she has no problem. I've got to have this conversation with her. Maybe we'll do it on a Probcast sometime soon. 12 years in the army, a year in war in Afghanistan. She can watch war movies, she can watch gun battles, but when you get to the hand-to-hand stuff, the sound of flesh on flesh, fist on face, things like that, really bothers her. And so she was going to watch the trailer and let me know if we were going to watch it together, or should I watch it and then let her know or whatever. And we haven't gotten to that point, but Evan wrote back and said, it's not that I didn't think Beekeeper was a good movie. It's a very Statham, Rambo, John Wickish, with some amazing death scenes.
Perfect.
I love a good action film where logic and fatigue are never even mentioned at any point of the writing process. I just think Roadhouse was a better overall movie. Beekeeper's still worth a watch, but it's no John Wick. Well, you can't compare it to John Wick. You can't you can't compare every action movie to one of the greatest action movie franchises of all time.
See, one of the original franchises that really put Jason Statham on the map was Crank. Crank 1 and Crank 2, where he's a hitman, where he has like an artificial heart, or and he has to continue to like electrocute himself to stay alive, while killing people, and just con- like he has to keep his adrenaline up the whole time. It's one of the best action flicks that has no premise in facts, science, medical accuracy, but that's all you need in an action movie.
It's one or two where he has to keep his adrenaline up by having sex with his girlfriend on a horse racing track or whatever.
So that was the second one. I mean, it was the same girl that he had to have sex with in the middle of a market in the first one.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, everybody was like cheering and applauding.
It had to be in the middle of a market.
Because you need the adrenaline.
Right now. Got to do it.
It's like think speed. Right? The bus can't go below 50. His adrenaline can't go below whatever. So he's got to keep it. And it just, that is the classic mindless state of it. Because there's one, and I'm totally forgetting the goddamn story, the goddamn name of it now. There's one, it was the last few years where he was avenging the death of his son. And it was Statham-esque, but it had a great storyline. Because he can do both.
Oh, I was getting Jason Statham mixed up with Bruce Willis. He looks like Bruce Willis did some crank, almost. He's a lot skinnier and thinner.
I think you're thinking of Wrath of Man.
Yes, that's exactly it.
I haven't seen that one yet. It's a Guy Ritchie movie.
Adam wrote in and said The Beekeeper was a really good movie. You guys should watch it if you have not. Fine, I'm getting to it. Jesus.
I'm sorry, Kyle. Who's the skinnier one, Bruce Willis?
No, Jason Statham. Bruce Willis looks like he's bulkier.
I know Jason Statham is like way
really
muscular.
The pictures I'm looking at, he looks like he's thinned out and his jawline's like cringed in and he's biting it too much.
Okay, well, compare a full torso shot of Jason Statham today and Bruce Willis from his heyday when he was doing Die Hard, like the first two. And they are nowhere compared to Bruce Willis has always been a slender dude, and they didn't make them like they do today, where they're all yoked.
They're both tough asses.
Well, of course.
I mean, I'm not screwing with either one of them, even Bruce Willis in his current state.
God,
by the way, a couple people wrote in. Daniel, Eric, they both had follow up questions. Dawn, did he ever end up getting his thank you card? Salsa man.
I hope so.
You did send it?
I mean, I sent it.
You did after that incident? You still sent it?
Well, I waited a little bit because I was so mad.
Wow. All right.
I held grudges then.
No. Then. Really? You held grudges then?
Did you send it from your address? Like the return address wasn't on there, right?
No, no, okay, God, good. No.
Carlos wrote in and said, I too watched Roadhouse over the weekend. This has been a very polarizing set of reviews. You're either like me, you give it an 8, a 7 or an 8. I would absolutely watch it again. I thought it was a fun movie. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a really good job. I got the intellectual part of it that a lot of people seem to miss. It's updated. He's not a PhD like Patrick Swayze was in Roadhouse, but he is still that guy who says no one wins a fight. He's the greatest UFC fighter in the world, and now he's a bouncer trying to save a roadhouse and dealing with scum. He holds back. He doesn't want to fight until he has to, and then when he does, he knows how to kick everybody's ass, and you find out later in the film that his glitch is he's this affable, really likable guy, but when you piss him off, he becomes another human being.
Roadhouse.
And you've already seen what he's capable of, and then he really becomes capable of it. I would not call it mindless at all. It's a great action film. It's not the best plot in the world. I don't know who these people are that are saying the acting is awful. Gyllenhaal's great. I think the supporting cast is great. The broad from the Apple Plus show.
Jessica Williams.
The Shrinking.
The Shrinking, who plays the owner. She's got of the Roadhouse. She's got a supporting role. She's great. And Conor McGregor, the UFC fighter, plays himself. He's an over the top psycho. That's his role. So you're either in that camp or terrible acting, what a waste of time. I give it a 2 out of 10. Blah blah blah. Okay, whatever. That's why we all have opinions. Carlos says I too watched Roadhouse over the weekend. I'll give it a solid 6, maybe a 7 out of 10. The buildup was good until Conor McGregor came out. Granted, he was supposed to be an over the top crazy character, but it started to feel quite campy. It looked like he was trying to overshadow Vince McMahon, you know, from WWE days.
Okay.
It is not a movie I would choose to watch again, but I don't feel I wasted too much time by watching it. Okay. I think you just didn't like the character that Conor McGregor was supposed to be, because you nailed it. Yes, He is supposed to be an over-the-top psycho who is capable of literally anything. And I don't just mean like he's trained and he can kill and blow things up. I mean he's mentally capable of whatever has to happen to anyone with absolutely no conscience at all whatsoever. And I thought he played the role great.
Okay, so like are they okay, Equalizer, right? I'm trying to think if there's someone over the top that people might think is an over the top evil person on there. Is it like that with Conor McGregor? Or is it like your older action films with Arnold or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone where there would be the evil person and it was campy, but it was still fine and good. Like what do you think that's, what are you seeing? Which one?
Certainly not. It's nothing to do with the Equalizer series with Denzel.
No, I know, but I'm like trying to think of like an over the top villain in a more action film that has a story, because this one sounds like it has a story, as opposed to in some of the other ones from the 80s, yes, they had stories, but they would sometimes get, you know, almost campy and over-the-top acting, but it still worked and it was still great.
Heath Ledger Joker?
That's interesting because that's kind of where I'm going in the sense of, again, the plot of Roadhouse, there is one, but it's just kind of there to support what's going on.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about the level of psychosis that Conor McGregor is portraying, either Heath Ledger as the Joker or same franchise Bane in Dark Knight Rises, a villain who is so capable of doing so much beyond the stretch of imagination, that kind of thing. But Conor McGregor is psychotic, like beyond. Heath Ledger is actually the better example. Yeah. You know, some people just want to watch the world burn, and you take Heath Ledger's Joker and give him a whole bunch of meth and steroids, and you get the Conor McGregor version.
So it sounds like to me, thank you, Kyle, because that's clearing it up for me anyway with his what his suggestion was. And you've seen the movie and you think so it probably sounds like for them it's too much for this movie and storyline.
I guess.
Right?
I guess.
But you were fine with it.
Quick message, not tomorrow but Thursday. The Circles guys will be back. That's Circles with an S. Referenced it earlier. You can download it for free in the App Store. You follow people you know, you trust. You can follow all of us and you're getting recommendations only. It's not Yelp. Yelp. There's no negativity. It's just, I'm looking for a restaurant downtown that Rob might go to. Okay, here's one. I'm going to give it a try. That kind of thing. When they are here on Thursday, they will be announcing their new and long-anticipated message group chat feature.
Yay!
They are so proud of it. It will not disappoint, they say. In fact, they're already being asked by those of us that have seen it, how long will it be before Apple or Facebook or Google figure out a way to copy it? I don't want to get too behind the scenes, but we've mentioned it on the air before. We've worked on getting it patented because it is such a brilliant idea. It is the kind it would be if we would have just created it, this message group chat thing by itself. It's an app that would have taken like 2 years to build, and the Circles guys did it in 3 months. They're super proud of it. And we're going to unveil that on Thursday. They're also going to talk about, for those of you that remember years ago, the official Circles launch party. For those of you that invested $5,000, or if you still choose to invest $5,000, you're still eligible. We are going to be holding our Circles launch party on April 18th at the Atrium Center. That's at the grounds in Roseville. For those of you that were at Bryanapalooza 2022, same area, great spot. We're going to have food. We're going to have drink. We're going to have music. We're all going to be hanging out. It's going to be kind of like just a big cocktail party for a few hours, but this is the promised Circles launch party. If you haven't RSVP'd, you need to. You've gotten an email either directly from Circles or WeFunder, and you do need to RSVP, and you can still always just invest $5,000 through WeFunder. Easiest way to do that is go to radradio.com, click on the Circles logo, and you'll go right to WeFunder, and you're part of the whole thing.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn Show.